Good evening, everyone. This is Bedtime Stories with Thompson. We're reading from Swiss Family Robinson. This is Chapter 14. A Mysterious Message. 10 years had passed since our arrival in this part of the world. My sons were no longer boys, but grown men. Fritz was 24 years old, Ernest was 23, Jack was 20, and Francis was 18. It was almost impossible now to curtail their jaunts into unknown regions of the island. One day, Fritz left on an expedition that was to change all our lives. He set sail at daybreak and was gone the entire afternoon. Shortly before dusk, Elizabeth approached me frantically. "You must go in search of Fritz, my dear. I am so worried about him." To relieve my wife's anxiety, my sons and I set out for Shark Island, where we fired the cannon as a signal to Fritz. A few minutes later, we saw a black spot on the sea. Looking through my spyglass, I saw that it was my wandering son. "Fritz, you gave us quite a fright," I cried as he beached his kayak. "Thank heaven you are safe." "Oh, I'm fine, father," said Fritz, unconcerned. "Wait till you see what I have. I think I've made a discovery that is worth more than all the treasures on the earth." "Tell us all about it," Ernest begged. "Well," he began, "I was anxious to explore the eastern coast of the island, for none of us has ever been there before. As I sailed among the shoals and rocks covered with the nests of seagulls, I saw sea lions, elephants, and walruses all playing in the water. Naturally, I was in a hurry to get out of their way and rowed as fast as I could. Suddenly, I came to a magnificent natural bridge, which I passed under. The bridge led into a cave and out into a beautiful calm bay. Peering down in the azure blue water, I saw bed after bed of giant oysters. I caught some with a hook and tossed them over on the sand. However, when I opened them, instead of finding a nice fat oyster, there was only hard, gritty meat inside. Then my knife hit some little, round, hard stones the size of peas. I lifted them out and held them up to the light. "Pearls!" I cried in ecstasy. "Real pearls! See, father, I have brought back a whole box full." "They really are pearls of rare quality," I exclaimed as we examined the contents of Fritz's box. "Son, you have discovered a valuable treasure." "Something else happened on the trip," Fritz announced. "I found this linen note tied to the foot of a seagull not far from the oyster beds." "Let me see it," I cried, opening up the message. "What does it say?" asked Francis eagerly. "It's written in English," I said, "and reads, 'Save the poor shipwrecked sailor on the smoking rock.'" "How mysterious," cried Jack. "Father, what do you think this means?" "It means that we are no longer alone on this island. Somewhere, a lone sailor is waiting for us to rescue him." End of chapter 14. Chapter 15. A Sailor Named Emily. We read and reread the message on the linen cloth to make sure it was real. Our one thought now was to search the coast for the smoking rock and to save the poor sailor stranded there. "If only we had the bird who delivered this note to you, we could send an answer back," I remarked. "Oh, I do have him, father. He's tucked down in my sack," Fritz said, and he returned to his kayak to retrieve the seagull. While Fritz held the bird tightly in his arms, wrote this short line, "Have faith in God, help is near." Then I attached the slip to the seagull's foot and threw the bird up in the air. It flapped its wings and flew off toward the east. "We mustn't forget the oyster beds, father," Fritz reminded me as I watched the bird disappear in the distance. "After all, it may be some time before we get an answer to the note, if we get one at all." The three of us spent the entire next day preparing our cargo. Then, with a soft breeze blowing, we, too, embarked for the eastern coastline. Fritz and Jack led the way in the kayak, while Ernest and I steered the canoe loaded with equipment. At the last minute, young Nips, the son of our first monkey, hopped in along with Turk and Flora. At last, we reached our destination, which was as picturesque as Fritz had described it. As we sailed into the Bay of Pearls, for this is what we named it, we gasped, for the sight we saw took our breath away. We saw huge oyster beds nestled on the ocean floor. We rested that night, and at dawn the next day we began our pearl fishery. With the aid of rakes, hooks, nets, and poles, we soon drew up large quantities of oysters. As they slowly popped open, we were delighted to see that each one contained a priceless cream-colored pearl shining brilliantly in the tropic sun. That night, as we sat around our campfire, discussing the exciting events of the day, we heard terrible noises coming from the jungle. We paid little attention to them until a short while later when we heard the rustling of bushes near our campsite. We looked up, and there, in the flickering light, stood an enormous lion, crouched down as if he was ready to shoot, ready to spring. Just as I was preparing to fire, a shot rang out, and the animal lay dead. "Bless you, Fritz," I cried. "You have saved us from a horrible death." But Fritz never had a time to reply. For the next second, a lioness, probably the mate of the dead lion, came leaping towards his body. She sniffed around the body and licked up his blood. Then she began to howl at the top of her lungs, as if announcing with those cries that she would devour us all. Fritz fired again, and his bullet hit the lioness's shoulder. Now the dogs rushed upon her and seized her flanks. I chose that opportunity to plunge my knife into her, but it was a costly victory. There by the fire slumped our beloved Flora, dead from the wounds the lioness had inflicted. Poor Flora, wailed Jack. She has done for us tonight what Grizzle did with the boa constrictor years ago. I nodded and said solemnly to my sons, we must give her a proper burial. Flora received the honors of a torchlight funeral. We dug a grave and lowered our pet into it. Above the little mound, we erected a flat stone to mark her resting place. On it, we scratched an epitaph. Here lies Flora, a dog, remarkable for her courage and devotion. She died under the claws of a lion, on whom she also inflicted death. It was with heavy hearts that our canoe and kayak set sail for Felsenheim at sunrise. As we passed through the stone bridge, Fritz rowed up to our canoe and handed me a slip of paper. Then, to my surprise, he shot off like an arrow. I quickly read his message. Dear Father, I am going alone in search of the sailor. Trust me and wish me luck, Fritz. Although I didn't like the idea of my son undertaking such a risky venture, there was no other course of action but to continue home. Elizabeth was overjoyed with the luxurious lion skins we brought back. Like me, she prayed that Fritz would be successful. 5 days passed, and still there was no sign of our son. At Elizabeth's urging, the entire family left on a searching trip around the east coast in our sailing ship. As we bobbed along on the sea, Ernest suddenly screamed out, "There's a man, a savage, look at him!" In the distance, we saw a strange man coming toward us in a canoe. Terror gripped me, for it appeared that we had indeed fallen upon a band of savages. In one last desperate effort to avoid trouble, I called to the stranger in the Malay language, but he didn't answer. Then I yelled out a few common sailing terms in English, and this time he waved a green branch over his head. Nearer and nearer he came, and finally we recognized the painted savage. It was none other than Fritz. "What are you doing in that costume?" I called out as he drew up alongside us. I disguised myself because I was afraid I might run into an enemy. For a minute, I thought you were one, but let me tell you my good news. I have located the poor lost sailor. Who is he? He asked. What is his name? The truth is, the sailor is really a girl, and her name is Emily, Fritz whispered to me, cupping his hands around his mouth so his voice wouldn't carry. A girl? I don't believe you, I whispered back, although I don't know why I did so. It's absolutely true, and a very plucky girl she is, too. For 3 years, she has been living alone on the Smoking Rock. Now she is anxious to live with us, but she doesn't want anyone other than you and Mother to know she is a girl. Now come meet her. We returned to shore to pick up Elizabeth, then followed Fritz. An hour later, we arrived at a nearby island. After docking the ship, Fritz led us through some woods to a hut where a low fire was burning. Hello, Fritz called out. Down from a tree jumped a young and handsome sailor. Hello, she said shyly. I'm Sir Edward Montrose. End of chapter 15.